today's game.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Paco Panchev alongside Lena Shuler, and we have an incredible experience set up for you today. The Super Bowl of Preaching is finally here. What can we expect?
That's right. You are in church right now, so if you are a little confused, you're in the right spot. And this might be a church experience unlike anything you've ever experienced before. Full of great teaching from our four teaching pastors today who are going to be teaming up. We'll have a halftime show, Super Bowl commercials. You'll laugh, and I think you'll walk away with a new insight today.
That's correct, Lena. Look, my hips don't lie, and neither does she.
Shakira. Yeah.
She's telling the truth, okay. You guys. 18 years. We've been doing this for 18 years. Did you know that historically, Super Bowl weekend has been the least attended church weekend of the entire year nationwide? And we decided 18 years ago to change that, and now it's our most attended weekend of the year.
Most attended. To borrow a line from Jenny from the Block, we used to have a little, now we have a lot of people here in this room here today and in our 13 locations of Crossroads and joining us online from all over the country. We're so glad to have you with us this Super Bowl weekend.
But for my people in the room right now, are you guys excited to be here right now? We're going to need to turn the energy all the way up in here. And, you know,
speaking
of J-Lo, you know, her hubby A-Rod, I feel like he could be a really great NFL quarterback at some point.
Maybe. But speaking of the NFL, we have something really important we need to share with you. In case you weren't aware, we are legally obligated to let you know that this is not the Super Bowl. No way, shape, or form are we sponsored by or affiliated with the NFL at all. Okay. This is the Super Bowl of Preaching, and we have good things in store.
That's right. We've got Team Tome versus Team Mingo today. We've got our four main teachers today. It's going to be an experience unlike no other. And if you're here for the first time, a lot happening all at once. We're going to break down the rules of this in just a second. We're headed back to the studio. We're going to get this Super Bowl of Preaching started right now. You guys ready? Oh, one more time. I feel like you could do a little bit better than that.
Come
on. Are we ready?
Pizza rolls in the microwave. If you're feeling fancy, get them in the oven, and we're heading to the studio.
That's right. Hey, you guys are going to hear right now from our game analysts, Solomon Wilcox and Anthony Munoz. Fellas, take it away.
Thanks, guys. Today we find ourselves at the 18th edition of the Super Bowl of Preaching. And if previous years tells us anything, it's that we're about to experience a whirlwind of emotions. I'm here with Cincinnati Bengals legend and NFL Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz.
Thanks, Solomon. Last year's matchup was one for the history books, and I'm sure this year's will be even better.
That's right. Now, Anthony, being an actual two-time Super Bowl veteran yourself, can you give us some insight as to what a game like this entails?
Well, Solomon, as you know, being an actual athlete is much different than what we're seeing here today. Much, much different.
Yeah, just a little bit, I would say. Yeah, that's right, and I couldn't agree more. But let's play along and pretend that today's game is an actual championship game of sorts.
Right. Solomon, these fierce competitors have worked tirelessly and trained vigorously to determine today's winners. There's simply no bigger stage, and you must come ready to play.
That's right. Well put. That means you have to actually bring it. Now, just outside of their skill sets on the field, these personalities are incredibly intriguing. I got a chance to sit down with both Team Tome and Team Mingo to see what makes these players tick. Brian Tome, senior pastor. Kyle Ranson, teaching pastor. Super Bowl 18. So what got you guys together here today?
You want to go first?
Not yet. Yeah.
You go for it.
Good. Well, I can't believe
the reason I'm here.
That's right. Winning, that's what got us here. We're two people who just win. Every day we get up and do the right thing and get the right consequences, which is winning and feeling good about ourselves and making other people feel bad about themselves. And I am confident we're going to feel that same exuberance and fantastic elevation at the top of the mountain as we win today. I'm assured of it that a Mountie has maple syrup all over his handkerchief that he just wiped his mouth with after he had his flapjacks. I'm assured of it as I am the teenagers have crusty socks in their bathroom. I'm assured of it as I can be assured of anything. It is for real, and winning is going to happen with right here, Team Tobin Ransom.
All right, Kyle, I got to ask you, year number two for you. How do you prepare in your second year, different maybe than what you did last year?
Well, listen, everybody's looking for an edge, right? Every competition, every sport, you're looking for that performance enhancer. And for me, I'm going with the killer bee diet, straight out of the Bible. Man doesn't live on bread alone. My preferred form of bread is liquid bread. I'm going beer, I'm going bourbon, a lot of grain, a lot of hops in there. And then the Bible every single day, mixing that back and forth. And I feel like that's going to give me a real edge in the competition today.
Now, Brian, I got to tell you, though, you've been on top of your game. Great year of preaching, by the way. And you've even been on top of your game when it comes to off-the-field endeavors. You've just completed this wonderful podcast series, The Aggressive Life. You also had a recent book published, a men's devotional called Move. How do you find the time for it all, including preparing for the big game?
It's been a fun year, in all series it has. And thank you very much for being on the podcast. It was one of my favorite episodes. I think it's just a lot of accumulation over doing a lot of the small things right over 20-some years. I've now been able to do some other things that are sort of outside of the normal day-to-day responsibilities I've had for 23 years. That's a piece of how I've done it all. And to be real clear, there's just some great people around here that are doing a lot of great things. It's freed me up to try some other things.
Now, if you had one final thing that you could say to your opponents, what would it be?
Give up? I don't know. It's the best advice I can come up with, really.
Another one is, Hey, man, we're going to need you because we just got done with a really good series on winning. And I'm thinking we'll do a series on losing in the future. Mm. And they're going to be uniquely qualified for that. However you feel at the end of this weekend, just take notes on how you feel as a loser, because that's going to be some core curriculum we're going to try to work in a future series. Yeah,
lots of tips on losing. It's going to be great. Yeah. Bless a lot of people.
Chuck Mingo, Oakley Community Pastor. Allie Patterson, Teaching Pastor. Tell me, how are you feeling about today's big game?
Yeah, I got this. I'm pumped. That's what I'll tell you. I am ready. I've been training. I feel great. Just this morning, doing some shots of green tea, watching Marie Kondo. I mean, I've been reciting the book of Habakkuk forward and backward. I am ready.
Okay, she's ready.
She is ready. She is ready. Man, I don't know if I'm as fired up as Allie at this moment, but man, I tell you what, this is the game you play for all year. So, yeah, we're ready to go.
So, once again, you're going up against your old foe, Team Tome. So, what the game plan going to be like today?
I'll tell you the game plan. It's all right. Yeah, you know
what?
I'm just going to go.
You got it.
Game plan. Here it is. Exploit weakness. Find everything we can to dominate them. We're going to crush them. No mercy. Take no prisoners. That's the game plan.
Hmm.
I am loving this intensity
Thank
from you.
You.
What's going on?
I mean, I don't know if you remember, but last year, right off the Super Bowl, I broke my rib. I was out of the game for a while. It took me a long time to heal. Clarified some things for me. I'm just back with a vengeance. I don't know what it is today. Hair dryer on too hot, something. But listen, no question, this is the year of Team Mingo. Maybe you need to rise up to my level this year.
Ooh, okay. Well, any last thoughts? Anything left to say?
Yeah. I could go all day on this. The era of Tome is over. It's over, baby. The era of Mingo is rising. As a matter of fact, Solomon, I'm just going to call it right now. The era of Allie has begun.
Wow. Chuck?
Oh, Solomon, I tell you what, I'm sitting here in this interview and some things are just abundantly clear. The first is Team Mingo is in great shape. Allie Patterson is the fiercest of the competitors they come, and she's ready. And I think Team Mingo is in good shape, not just today, for the foreseeable future. And man, I've been wrestling with this for a while, and it just feels right to say it in this moment. So, effective today, I am officially announcing my retirement from preaching, and that's effective immediately, and I won't take any further questions at this time.
What was that?
Well, I got some work to do.
Wow, Anthony, I can't believe that. Chuck Mingo steps away from Team Mingo in the middle of the season and right before the biggest game of the year.
Undeniably, it's a growing trend in the NFL. Sanders, Megatron, Romo, Gronkowski, Luck, and now Mingo.
And now Mingo. Well, obviously, this changes the rest of the game. But Chuck won't be completely out of sight. In fact, he'll be in the announcer's booth today giving insights and commentary while the other guys fight it out. It's almost game time. So let's head to the field where we'll hear from Chuck Mingo himself. Guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe I'm saying it, but welcome to the booth, Mr. Chuck Mingo. Chuck, I gotta tell you, man, retiring at the top of your prime, I'm sort of speechless on this. What's going on in your mind?
Oh, man, it's tough, man. I love this team. I love this place. And it wasn't an easy decision, Greg, but I had to think about what was right for me, what was right for my family. There's some sponsorships I want to do, and...
Well, that's weird. So, apparently, to make this whole thing even a little more on edge... Team Mingo has taken their salary cap after your exit and used the money. Patterson has just drafted Kyle Ranton onto Team Mingo, leaving Team Tome flying solo. This is strange.
Whoa.
Very, very strange.
Hey, but a great move by Alley Cat Patterson. She is playing to win. I mean, she basically took away Brian Silver Bullet, a millennial. And so, man, just to think about now the average age of his team is up again, and I don't know if Brian has it in him. I mean, this is a great move by Alley Patterson.
I agree. You know what they say, the old gray mayor ain't what he used to be.
Yeah.
So let's just check this one out. You know, we've got to get this game started. I think it's time to head down to the studio to figure out the rules for the game.
So here are the rules for today's game, though let's be honest, we tend to make a lot of this stuff up as we go, am I right?
We do, yeah.
But here's what we know so far. Each team will preach 2 6-minute quarters. Each preacher may use 3 reference sources. One has to be the Bible. In each quarter, preachers will be given a random phrase that they must effectively work into their message.
And my understanding is these are completely random. They have never seen them before, seriously.
You know what's more random than Rob Lowe showing up at an NFL game with a referee hat on?
Tell me, Paco.
These phrases that we've got today, okay? Now, speaking of referee, the referee today has complete jurisdiction over whether or not the player has adequately met the above criteria and will award points accordingly.
And we're not exactly sure of his background and how great he's going to be at this.
It should be interesting.
That's right. So here is how you get points. A compelling message in 6 minutes or less, 6 points. Correct use of the random phrase, 3 points. Bible trivia, correct answer, that's important, 1 point. And lastly, there is an opportunity for penalty in losing 3 points.
Preaching penalties today. Negative points.
Negative points.
This should be very, very entertaining and very, very interesting. And right now, we're going back to the booth with Greg and Chuck. Take it away.
Thanks, guys. Chuck, that is a lot of rules. Could be difficult to follow.
I think it will be difficult to follow, especially for Brian Tome. I mean, again, he's just got disadvantage after the other. I'm interested to see what he'll do in this one. And I should say this, you know, he's going to have to make a comeback, and that's what they're going to be talking about today. All these preachers are going to be talking about what does it look like to make a comeback. We've all had setbacks in our lives, and Brian's got some setbacks as we start this game.
Well, speaking of those players, let's head down to the field for today's starting lineups.
And now, your 2020 starting lineups. The home team. Introducing an 18-year super bowl of preaching veteran, a pulpit-pounding pastor from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He's a master of the motorcycle and overlanding overlord. The man, the myth, the legend, Brian Tome! And now, your visiting team, a three-year Super Bowl of preaching veteran. She's got more spice than a level 5 pad thai. Alongside a man who's a top-shelf athlete, if he could only reach it. A team that throws so much shade, you'd think they have branches. Let's hear it for Team Mingo!
All right, folks, there we have it. We've
fired
heard the rules.
Up. They are
We've
fired
met the
up.
Players. Man, they are fired up. And there's a strange display of something going on
Greg,
on the
I
field.
Greg, I got to tell you, as a competitor on the field with Brian Tome, this was always very uncomfortable for me to watch him do this. And so it's no less so in the booth.
Yeah, right. Well, as we heard before, today's game is under the complete jurisdiction of our supposed referee, Matt Castleman, community pastor from the West Side.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I'm pretty sure I bought my 11-year-old's pair of Jordans from him just the other day at Foot Locker. So
yes, definitely doing the part-time gig at Foot Locker. Well, let's head down to him. Oh, by the way, I think something new this year. You got some sponsorships for us.
I have some sponsorships, so you should know. Today's kickoff is being sponsored to you and brought to you by the Yeti Bible. Wildly stronger to keep biblical accuracy longer. Slightly overpriced cover, but the content still has eternal value. The Yeti Bible, yes, that's the book for me.
All right, well, let's head down to the field for the coin toss.
Bring it in for the coin toss. Want a good, clean game? Brian, as home team, you will call the coin in the air. This is the coin. This side is heads. This side is this side is heads. This one is, you know, we'll just call it when it lands. Call it in the air.
Tails is what I'll be kicking.
Let's just go with tails. Would you like to kick or receive the Bible?
I will receive.
Tome wins the toss, chooses to receive the Bible. Patterson back with the kick. Oh my goodness! Is that a touchback? Can you even get a touchback?
First time in 18 years there's a touchback for the kickoff.
The glitter shoes going to work. Wow.
Touchback. Everybody touch your back.
He has no idea what a touchback means.
He does not know what a touchback means. No.
All right, Brian, please choose your random phrase. And preferably not make a mess. Your random phrase is, that's why you pillage before you burn.
Ooh, that's why you pillage before you burn.
Wow.
Let's see what he does with this.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun today, but we also want to spiritually grow today. So let's pray a little before we go any further. God, thank you for the ability to laugh, and I pray for growth, real growth and real insights to happen to all of us who are a part of the Super Bowl preaching today. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but I like to win. Anybody else like to win? I like to win. Winning doesn't necessarily mean beating the person that's sitting beside you. It means whatever lane God has you in, you need to win at that. Whatever it is, there's something God wants out of your life, and you've got to win. And the truth is, many of us in here are not winning. Many of us are losing. Many of us are not happy how our relational life is going. We're not happy with where our credit card is. We're not happy with a variety of things. And for those of us who are losing, it doesn't mean that we're a loser. It means you're primed for a comeback. You're primed for a comeback. You're primed to go to a whole new place. And I think we can learn something from Jesus today, because Jesus wasn't always sitting on top of everything. In fact, oftentimes, Jesus had significant, massive, massive pain. And the way that he ended up winning, because all people, whether atheist, agnostic, Islam, Jewish, Christian, whatever stripe we are, would recognize him as the most influential person in all of human history, bar none. How did he win? He had amazing comeback, and specifically, what he did is he knew how to cheat. Yes.
He knew how to cheat. By cheating, what I'm describing that as is similar to say, well, she knows she cheated death in that car accident. Cheating is something should have happened and something totally different happened. How does a guy who's from Nazareth become who he is today? It's like he cheated the history of Nazareth. This is a guy who went off script. This is a guy, when the system came his way and they said, you should play this way, he went against the rules of that culture to enable himself to be the powerful person. He cheated the system. In what ways? Well, I'll give you a few. One, he enlisted and empowered women. He enlisted and empowered women. There's these rumors that exist by so-and-so religious enlightened people that think that Jesus had a sexual affair with Mary Magdalene. We say this in our culture because we have no idea of what healthy relationships look like, but also because we can't imagine Jesus actually valuing and using women. He didn't have anything sexual was going on with Mary Magdalene. He recognized that he was talking to women and he was bringing them into his circle, and women for 2,000 years have been a part of the movement of Christ. I was thinking about this just this last week with the awful, unexpected death of Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant understands the comeback. He won who knows how many games he won the comeback. He had a moral failure a number of years ago that he had a comeback from. And he also had four beautiful daughters. And he said, I'm a girl dad. This is what's being talked about now, hashtag girl dad. I relate to that because I'm a dad. I put this on one of my Instagram stories just the other day. I'm a dad. I've got two daughters, and they are every bit as capable as any son I have or anybody else who could do anything. Jesus leveraged women, not just depending on, this was a cheat. Nobody was doing this. No, this sounds, of course, nobody did this in the first century in the ancient world. Nobody. He also ignored man-made rules. You have probably some man-made rules you're living by. You should look this way. You should spend your money this way. You should act that way. This is the way you should structure your college career. This is the way your career choices go. He regularly stepped outside the man-made rules of that society. One example was how he was treating the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a place in the time when Jews would rest. And on Saturdays, Jesus was going through one time a wheat field, and he and his disciples are following along, and they're picking the different heads of wheat. And as they're going and picking those, they're eating them, which is very critical. You know, you've got to really enjoy the wheat field while you're doing this, because this is why you pillage before you burn. You want to be able to eat as you're going along.
I would say he could have done better, but hey, fit it in there.
Yeah, it was a long walk.
And the religious people jumped up and said, ha, you're not supposed to be doing this on the Sabbath. You're working. This was a man-made rule they had. It wasn't his rule. You could actually pick wheat and eat, and just what Jesus says. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He cheated on man-made rules. He didn't obey them. He also cheated in terms of what a religious person would do, in that he lived a relatable life. In a day and time when religious people were making sure everyone saw they were religious, and they had their gowns on, or their whole, you know, the things that they would wear in phylacteries, there were these boxes they would strap to their wrists and to their head that had Bible verses in that, and they would walk around and everyone would say, ooh, look, Mr. Spiritual, ooh. Jesus came walking like somebody who was a tradesman, talking like somebody who understood people, and he actually did things that people could understand instead of just putting himself away in the midst of some religious little catacomb. He said this, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was accused of drinking alcohol, of eating fine food, because he did. He did, but they just thought that he overdid it, but he actually didn't overdo it. The reason why he was so powerful is he was relatable. He would flip the script. He would cheat the script on what a religious person looks like. So I'm really excited about our series, Phantom Lake, that's on Amazon Prime right now. Over 1 million minutes viewed so far. It's been fantastic.
Wow.
And what we've done is we've cheated the script that religious people can't be identifiable, that you can't be relatable. It's an entirely mind-altering experience for some people. It's just a different deal. And I'm telling you right now, for you to come back, you're going to have to cheat the system. For you to win, you're going to have to cheat this. You're going to have to start spending money the way different people are not spending money. You're going to have to start actually using all of your vacation time instead of leaving some on the table. You're going to have to start to say things that no one wants to say. You're going to have to start to cheat, to be unusual, to flip the script. If you want to win, because God wants you to win and have a comeback.
End of the first quarter.
Touchdown, Team Comb. Brian, you were awarded 6 points for a great message, and you did incorporate the random phrase decently. I'm going to give you 2 points instead of the full 3 points for incorporating the random phrase.
Wow. This ref, I tell you what, he just takes all kinds of license, and now he has the crowd going against
him. That's right.
Would you like to try for the extra Bible trivia point?
Yes, I would.
Your trivia question. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus tells a parable of the farmer who scatters seeds on good soil where crops eventually grow. Speaking of crops, is an avocado a fruit or a vegetable?
Took an unexpected turn there.
Yes, it did.
3 seconds.
Fruit.
That is correct!
Yeah, redeems himself.
6 points for a great message. 2 points for random phrase, and 1 point results in an end of first quarter score. Team Tome 9, Team Mingo 0. That's the end of the first quarter.
All right. Well, Chuck, man, we were talking about Tome's age. I thought he came out on fire. He clearly knew what he was up against. He threw in that reference to an Insta story. Very hip. What did you say?
Very, very hip. I tell you what, Brian did exactly what you'd expect him to do. He is a consummate competitor, and I really hope this game does not come down to the officiating.
Couldn't agree more, Chuck. Hey, folks, we know you didn't come for the preaching. Let's head to our first commercial break.
Yeah, my mom's been hounding me to come visit, but I just don't feel like spending the money to come home, so.
Flights are expensive. Now, Amazon Prime can save you big on travel.
Jeff?
Oh, hold on, I think someone's in my house.
Introducing Amazon Prime Travel.
How did you get in here?
Your Amazon key.
How'd you know I was talking about traveling?
Oh, you have lots of Amazon devices. We listen to everything. Now included with your Prime membership, Amazon Prime Travel can get you from here to your mom's house cheaper than ever. Just select your destination, order your trip, get in the box, and then just...
I'm sorry, did you say get in the box?
Right. Just get in the box and enjoy that free two-day shipping you just can't get enough of.
But I didn't pick a destination or order anything.
Oh, your mom did. There's one of us with her right now.
Hi, Jeff. Isn't this exciting?
She set up Subscribe and Save, so you'll be visiting every month.
Smart. Well, get in the box and in just 2 days...
Guys, I don't know. I mean...
Get in the box, Jeffrey.
Fine.
Come to Mama.
I almost forgot. Whenever you ship yourself, you always want good ventilation.
You don't want to watch this commercial. You don't want to know that you can have an impact in the world, not you. You don't want to know that you've stepped into something bigger than a church service here or that you're part of a community of people who are literally changing the world. You don't want to know that a go trip will actually change your life, that you'll actually experience God. You don't want to know any of that. What you want a speech from a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So here's Anthony Munoz, Pro Football Hall of Famer, to give you some cheesy inspirational quotes.
Life is about impact, not income. The only limit to your impact is your imagination. There is no I in team, but there is an I in impact.
Coffee. There's just something about it that brings comfort, warmth, belonging. One of the most expensive coffees in the world is Kopi Luwak, a specialty coffee from Indonesia. And what makes this coffee so special, you ask? Kopi Luwak is a coffee that consists of partially digested coffee cherries, which have been eaten and defecated by the Asian palm civet. The cherries are fermented as they pass through the Asian weasel's intestines, and after being defecated with other fecal matter, they are carefully harvested, collected, and roasted, and turned into the amazing coffee we're serving you this weekend at Crossroads.
Greg, I gotta tell you, this coffee is
the shit. Hey, thank you, Chuck. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Hey, by the way, we're about to hear from your old teammate, Allie Patterson. What are we gonna expect?
I tell you what, 100% fire. Allie came to play. I think she's gonna blow it away here in the second quarter.
All right, let's see. Back down to the field for Allie Patterson.
Allie, please choose your random phrase. Your random phrase is, and that's how I learned to belly dance.
Could be true.
And that's how I learned to belly dance. Okay.
Okay. Well, hey, everybody. Before we begin, I just want to show you something that happened last year right here on this stage at the Super Bowl of Preaching. Check this out. Mark my words, one of us will be wearing the Mahomes jersey on this stage next year. That's the long game. Right here, baby. The Mahomes jersey is being worn. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. That was 1 year ago this weekend. And I know we're supposed to be humble and all that, but it's so fun to be right sometimes.
Oh, wow. Draws a flag here.
Oh, come on.
Hold on. No booing.
Some booing from the crowd.
Yes. That's a good flag. I just wanted to take a moment
flag.
To say, yeah, you called that a year ago.
I did.
In the game of sports, there's a special point system called the prophecy point.
What is happening?
So I award you 2 pee-pees.
I will take the pee-pees. Thank you.
This is off the rails, Chuck.
It really is.
I mean, that commercial and now some pee-pees, it's awesome. Listen, if you want to make a comeback, what you need to do is find the best change point. And Patrick Mahomes is in the Super Bowl this year because he is the king of the comeback. This is a guy who knows how to find the change point in any football game and grab onto it and squeeze it for all it's worth. Do you know that the Chiefs were down 4 games in their season by more than 10 points? And they came back and won all 4 of them. They were 4-0 in those games. And if you follow the Chiefs or the NFL at all, you surely heard about the best example in the AFC divisional game versus the Texans. I mean, they were down 24 points in the second quarter, 24-0, and in record-breaking fashion, came back to lead by halftime. And Mahomes, he did 7 straight touchdown drives in that game for a victory of 51-31. He smashed every comeback record there was. And it's because Mahomes knows the secret of the comeback. And the secret he knows is what you and I need to know so much for our own lives. The same thing is true. The lowest point of the game is the best change point. When he was asked after the game, what were you thinking, saying, feeling on the sidelines when you were down by 24 points? Like, what was going on? And he told the guy that asked him that in the press conference exactly what he said. He said to his teammates, guys, this game looks over. As a matter of fact, everyone says it's over. He said, I say this is the best time to do something special. He took the lowest point of the game and he made it their change point. And he knows that we can't mount a comeback unless something very important happens. He knows we can't mount a comeback unless we admit we're at the bottom. I was personally at the bottom in my life some years ago. I mean, I was facing all kinds of low points. I was facing low points in my career, in my marriage, in my friendships, in my choice of hobbies. I mean, I even took a belly dancing class, and that's how I learned how to belly dance.
Oh, wow. Allie Patterson for the strong use of random phrases.
I didn't see it coming.
What you call a low point.
Yeah.
And I was walking through my house one day, and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror, and I actually just stopped and stared at myself for a minute. And I started talking to myself, and I started talking to God in that moment, and I said, it's time to tell yourself the truth. Allie, you're a shameful wife. You're a terrible friend. You are just dishonorable. You're not good. You're not kind. You're just great at being nice to the right people. And the truth is, you have the reputation that your character has earned you. And when I told God that in that moment, and I finally told myself the truth, what I didn't know is that a year or two later, I would come back to that moment. I would look at that moment and think it was right then, actually. It was right then that the momentum began to shift, but most of us won't look. We don't want to see the low point. We don't want to talk about it. We want to defend, deny, sweep it under the rug, prop ourselves up, slap a little makeup on it, whatever the case might be. We are afraid to hit bottom. So we do whatever we have to do just not to hit the bottom. But friends, all we're doing when we do that is we are stealing from ourselves the very best change point we could ever have. The lowest point is always the best change point, but we don't want to go there because what is waiting there for us, it often looks like a death, and we're afraid of those deaths. We don't want the death of our job, our relationship, our marriage, our self-respect, whatever death is waiting there, we just don't want it. But Jesus says something different. He says something completely crazy about death. Jesus says that we don't have to be afraid of death. Death of any kind. And the reason we don't have to be afraid is because of what he did on the cross. Friends, the cross, it looked really bad for him. It looked so bad at the cross. For 3 days, it looked like game over. Everyone went home. And what we didn't know is that at that low point, something was rumbling. The momentum was shifting. And 1 Corinthians 15 actually describes what happened at the cross at his death. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death itself was swallowed up in victory. And the writer goes on to taunt death, saying, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Death means something completely different because of the cross. See, Jesus did not just die. And after 3 days, he got up in an empty tomb and he walked out roaring back to the greatest comeback that will ever be mounted in human history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ told us that the cross, the lowest of low, became the change point for his comeback victory. And the same can be true for you and I. With him at our low becomes our change point. I don't want you to run. I don't want you to keep yourself from it. I want you to go straight through it with him and say, where, oh, death, is your victory? Today, I want you to make it personal. I want you to say, where, oh, divorce, is your victory? Where, oh, infertility, is your victory? Where, oh, F, is your victory? None of these things have victory over you in Christ. They're just the change points for your comeback. If everybody says game over, fine. Jesus is about to do something special.
Wow, what a strong
quarter. Touchdown, Team Mingo! Allie, you're awarded 6 points for a great message, plus 2 peepees.
Gotta love the peepees.
Plus 3 for a great usage of a random phrase. Would you like to go for the extra bonus point?
I might as well. I'm on a roll.
Your legit Bible question is, Peter was the disciple that Jesus called out of the boat during a storm to learn how to walk on water and meet him. In what year did I learn how to swim?
I'm going to go 1989.
Ooh, so close. 1991.
Oh!
So close. So
that
you did not make
the... Bible trivia gets you every time.
It really does. So that means you have a final first half score of Team Mingo 11, Team Tome 9. That's the end of the first act.
Oh, Castleman really showing his weak spots today. I got to tell you, man, all that glitters is gold. The belly dancing shoes are making a lot more sense now Allie Patterson.
They really are. But man, strong quarter by Allie. I mean, my goodness, strong Mahomes through line. Great use of the phrase. Shared her personal low point.
11-9. I mean, let's see where it goes in the second half.
That's right. We got a whole lot of game ahead. But first, another commercial break.
We know you love McDonald's because it's amazing. Problem is, nobody wants to actually admit they love it. Introducing new McSmuggler Meals, the same McDonald's food you love, delivered in a discreet, more socially acceptable container.
Hi, can I get a McSmuggler? It's the same supersized goodness, but they hide it in a Whole Foods bag. No more judgy looks from Becky, like her life's so perfect.
Man, nothing beats a smoothie after a big workout. Well, that's what I tell my trainer, at least.
If my boss knew how many Filet-O-Fishes I eat, I would definitely be fired.
My bad, man.
New McSmuggler Meals. Mm. Might as well hide it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm smuggling.
You just want to watch something, right? It shouldn't be this hard. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Roku, every streaming service has its own lineup, its own password, and its own fee. Subscribe to all these and you're shelling out $150 a month or more. It's time for something better. What you need is complete access to a brilliant library of entertainment. It's the newest innovation in home entertainment. Cable is everything you want. Hardwired onto a physical cable, straight into your home. It's like Disney Plus, but for all the stuff you want that isn't on Disney. No more unreliable streaming. No need for Wi-Fi. No more wondering what service has what you want. It's all right here. Get cable today. Act now and get a free cell phone that attaches to your wall.
Okay, no peeking.
I hate surprises. You know I hate surprises.
I know. You're gonna love this. Okay, ready?
Okay.
All right, open your eyes. Do you love it?
Yeah, it's Peloton.
It's exactly what you wanted.
Ooh, new year, new me.
Yeah.
Just spend the whole afternoon setting it up now. I'm sure there's some assembly. All right, day one, new year, new me.
Everybody, nice job. So open up, shake it out. Let that go out of the way. Come and be into that, right? We're all going to show this up to Steve.
Honey, come in here. I think I'm starting to get the hang of this thing.
Babe, that is so great. By the way, I found this behind the couch. Did you need this?
Is that a seat?
That's a slow burn right there. That's what that is. We're going to have a little halftime show. We're going to have some good music. But also, we're about people who have the comeback. Some of you, you might want to come back in here. No, there's a place for you in our community. We're going to hear a little, some stories from people who found a place here at Crossroads that's had an impact on them. And so let's hear a couple of their stories and let's enjoy some really good music right now.
Hello?
down like a roaring lion. It feels like our time is now. It feels like we were born to be.
I love CrossRoads because they put a crossroads right on the edge of campus to connect college students with other college students who are trying to grow in their faith right here.
I feel like I always have a home. I grew up in Cincinnati and then moved to Lexington, and now I'm living in Louisville, and I've been a part of CrossRoads Oakley, Eastside, Andover, Downtown Lex, and now CrossRoads Anywhere. And I love that wherever I go, CrossRoads can come too. So I feel like I always have a home that I can come back to every weekend, no matter where I am.
Being involved in CrossRoads has led to a great chain of events, starting with me going to Women Camp, which led to me going to Go South Africa, which led to me starting a journey group, which led to me starting a small group, which led to me finding a new career path and job.
There's a place for everybody there. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, blotchy. They just help welcome you with open arms.
Use this gospel protection. It's a hard road to heaven. We call on the blessings of the Father to put our faith. King of the kingdom, our demons are trembling. Holy angels defending the Father to put our faith.
One thing I love about being part of CrossRoads Church is I love how you can always find new people and form new friendships and bonds, and how there's a sense of community and learn more about the love of God.
We put our money where our mouth is. We invest millions of dollars locally and globally, tackling some of the biggest problems in the world.
And I'm so glad to be a part of a community that has a heart like God's, to run after racial reconciliation, to heal the racial divide.
I can come here and hear God's word while being in a community of people who are trying to make a difference, understand who God is, why he's so great, why he loves us, and the life change that can happen when we trust him and follow his plan.
Since I've started coming to CrossRoads, it has brought so much joy in my life. I wish I had found CrossRoads long time ago when I was younger, but it's never too late.
We'll use this gospel protection. It's a hard road to heaven. We call on the blessings of the Father to put our faith.
Be a higher love down in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart and look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere in this whole world. What is fair? We walk the line and try to see.
Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. What is this higher
Yes. You can have a seat.
So good. Hey, you know what? Just seeing those stories, it never gets old. Hearing stories of life change. And man, that's true for you and I. So tell folks a little bit about your story.
Yeah, seriously, break the script for a second. 2003, I got brought here into this place on a Super Bowl of preaching weekend. I never knew church could be fun. I mean, the whole thing from the AstroTurf and the preach-off. My life's different because of it. I know that's a story for some of you in here as well.
Absolutely, man. And hey, our community is different because of you, Greg. Seriously. Yeah, and I just thank God for that. I mean, my same thing. Came from Philadelphia. Thought I'd be here for a couple years. Crossroads became a home, became a community. And my life's been different. And, you know, this is a team. If you're new here, I want you to know you're joining and have the opportunity to join a team of people who want to push ourselves to see the world through a Jesus lens, not necessarily how the world caused us to see this thing. And part of that is why we're excited about the series we're starting next weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard or not, but it's actually an election year. Yes, yes, the sky is falling, paranoia, and man, we're going to hear more and more about this. We're going to hear from the radio, from the TV, family members, coworkers, and we've got a series coming up. It's simply titled, Don't Panic.
That's right.
Don't Panic.
That's right.
Hey, here's the thing. We want you to know that regardless of who wins the election, you can win this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You can take heart, and we want to just encourage you. So, man, come next weekend, bring your friends. I think it's going to be the best series we get into this year. It's so timely. Yep. And, man, and again, that's what we do as a team around here. And one of the other things that I love is how I've been pushed to think differently about money. No. Being a part of this community, you know, when we give, and we're going to have an opportunity to do that in a moment, it pushes us. And I know some people, I'm pushing their buttons right now. They're like, oh, here it comes, the church talking about giving. But I'll just tell you what, when you give, God gets a hold of your heart in a different way, and it changes things. And teams like ours are changing communities and neighborhoods and literally changing the world. So if you want to lean in and be a part of that, we're going to have a chance to give right now. Volunteers are going to come down with bags. And seriously, if somebody invited you, you're brand new here, you can let that pass you right on by.
Right.
But if you want to lean in and be a part of the team that makes all those things happen, you can do that by giving in those bags or going online to crossroads.net/give.
Yeah, so with that, while we take up the offering, let's take a peek at the series starting next week. Don't panic.
This full day of the impeachment trial.
November is coming. Report. That means our news feeds and our family gatherings are about to be hijacked by political pundits pushing their agendas. Is your anxiety growing yet? Do you find yourself asking the question, should I be as angry as everyone else seems? Are you fed up with the rhetoric already? Election season is coming, but don't panic. You got this. Together, we've got this. We can rise above the rhetoric, push through the pandemonium, and clear out the noise to move forward together. Now, some of you are going to hate this. You can get through this year with less anxiety, and you can leave this election cycle with confidence that the future is going to be good. Not because the issues aren't real, but because there is a better way that always leads to life. Yes, we're going there.
I love delivery services. With my busy lifestyle, I need services like Amazon Prime, DoorDash, and Uber Eats to keep me on the go. Problem is, who's there to pick up so I can go? And that's why I love DoorTrash. DoorTrash connects you to a vast network of undelivery specialists that come to your door and pick up your trash.
Undelivery? What? This is a garbage company. I'm a garbage man. We just have an app.
It's like magic. You just download the app, pay the monthly fee, gather your trash, and voila, all the garbage in your life is gone.
Garbage man. This is garbage. I'm a man. Garbage man.
What makes DoorTrash unique isn't just about what they do, but who they are.
Garbage app, garbage company. Garbage man.
After a hard day's work, there's nothing I love more than a good old fresh squeeze Pepsi. But you know what I love more than Pepsi? This brand new Pepsi with extra pulp. Kind of minty.
Dude, that's my dip spit. It's okay, man. It's okay. Everybody's had a little bit of dip before.
Pepsi with extra pulp. This product does not exist. Don't drink it.
Somebody get this man a Coke.
I love it. It's not getting old. You got a favorite commercial?
The more you know, man, that dip spit Pepsi Pulp is pretty funny.
I know. He says, ooh, minty fresh. Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, we got a whole second half to get to, so let's throw it back down to the field.
Team Mingo, you will have possession of the Bible for the third quarter. Please choose your random phrase. Your random phrase is, and because of that, Denny's now offers a combo called the Mighty Mingo.
Greg, that is a super long phrase, and I'm really not sure he's going to be able to fit that in.
We'll see about this.
All right. Hey, if you want to make a comeback in your life, you must embrace correction. Here's my prediction for the Super Bowl. At halftime, there's going to be a coach who's going to put his finger in the face of a player and say, if we're going to make a comeback, I need you to get better. It's going to happen in front of the entire team. Can you imagine what that would be like to be called out in front of everybody, corrected in front of everyone? Can you imagine? I don't have to imagine, because that happened to me just a few months ago. I was on stage training our entire staff, employees from all 13 sites, when this guy, my CEO, decided it was the right time to walk on stage and correct my public speaking skills in front of everyone. Let's watch the beautiful moment together.
Both of you are going to be able to keep this $20 if neither one of you, the rest of the time you talk, say
How about, I said, I asked you
that was a question. That was a question. That was clarification. Now I'm self-conscious. I don't know about you.
I'm not
so weird.
This anymore.
So weird.
No, I didn't get the $20. So when that happens to you in that moment, what do you feel when someone gives you the opportunity for improvement you weren't really asking for? You know, what do you feel inside? Do you feel like, yes, that's awesome, man, thank you. So I was hoping you were gonna correct me. That's what I wanted. Great.
I just tell you haven't done it since. I've not heard you say since that
thank
day.
Thank you.
Let's give it up for Kyle right there. Yeah. Improvement.
Hey, how about not just
Greg,
some points?
You, this is an interesting love fest going on, and this explains why Brian and Kyle have matching sneakers.
That's a really good point.
No, that's because I wandered in the senior citizen section on accident, and I got the same ones.
Gloves off.
I know, it's embarrassing. I shouldn't have done it.
He drew the flag.
And a flag.
Pastoral foul, roughing the pastor. There will be a three-point penalty assessed at the end of this quarter.
I've seen that coming, Chuck.
Yeah.
Whatever. Look, when correction comes your way, you're not excited, are you? You're not. You probably feel what normal human beings feel. You probably feel embarrassed or defensive or even defeated. And that makes sense. It does, because most of us walk around starving. And because of that, Denny's now offers a combo called the Mighty Mingo that you might want to check out. It's $5.99, coffee, two
eggs.
That
was impressive.
That was incredible.
Yeah. You're going to love it. That was a rough phrase.
That's worth bonus points right there.
Agreed. Listen, we're starving, but we're not starving for food. We're starving for validation because we have this question in us. Am I good enough? And when correction comes our way, it feels crushing because it confirms our very worst fear. I'm not good enough. And when that happens, everything in us wants to spit that correction out, doesn't it? This is why they invented the C sandwich. Compliment, correction, compliment. You go like, girl, I love your bangs. Also, you're a terrible mom and your shoes are so cute. That's how you do it. Now you know. But it doesn't work. Because we're not dogs, are we? You can't just shove the pill into a hot dog and expect us to swallow it whole. Doesn't work that way. We taste the pill tastes bad. Everything says, spit it out. But Jesus says something radically different. Jesus says, listen, I have made you good enough. Now it's time to get better. Good enough is the gospel. This is the news that no matter what you've done, who you are, what's in your past, Jesus wipes away all of it. And he takes out his permanent marker. And over you, he writes, good enough. Nothing can take it away. Nothing. Hebrews 10 puts it this way. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Not the C sandwich, it's the PH sandwich, the perfect and holy sandwich. Did you hear it? Made perfect, past tense, done forever. And yet, being right now made holy, that means getting better. It's the PH sandwich. There's a time in my life when Brian, if he'd given me that correction, it would have crushed me. It really would have. It was a time when I was looking for everybody to validate me. Am I good enough, smart enough, funny enough, creative enough, a good enough leader? Am I enough? But I got off that hamster wheel. I got off that hamster wheel when I decided to do this thing that has changed my life, and I'm telling you, it can change yours too. See, I decided to act as if what the Bible said were true. That when Jesus says I'm good enough, it's enough. I am. And listen to me. If you believe in Jesus, I have good news for you. You're good enough. You're good enough. Now, it's time to get better. And the way you get better is you embrace correction, which is different than condemnation. Condemnation is pointing out problems to cut you down. Correction is pointing out problems to build you up. And did you know, if you believe in Jesus, the Bible says God will never condemn you. He says that in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. He will never condemn you, but he will correct you. He promises to correct you. Listen to this in Proverbs 3. For whom the Lord loves, that's you, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Have you ever considered that the corrections coming your way, they're not condemnation, that you're not good enough. They're evidence that God loves you. He's correcting you. You know, God must love me a lot because I get corrected all the time. All the time. Not just by Brian. My six-year-old daughter the other day, she said, Daddy, can you not yell so much? It's a correction. My wife said, hey, you're being extra hard on Eli, our middle son. It's a correction. My boss told me, hey, the stuff online right now, Crossroads, fine. It needs to get better. That's a correction. It's a correction. Listen, I know correction is coming your way too. Maybe not, maybe you haven't asked for it, but maybe it's from your roommates, maybe it's from your spouse, maybe it's from a professor, maybe it's from a teacher, maybe it's from your employer, maybe it's from your employees, maybe it's your credit card statement, okay? Correction is coming your way. And listen to me. Listen to me, it's coming your way because God loves you. He's saying to you, you're good enough. Now it's time to get better. Because he has, I don't know if you know this, he has better plans for your life than you have. He has better plans for you than you could ever imagine because you are his plan A and there is no plan B. Did you know that? You are his plan A. You are his plan A for raising confident, world-changing kids. There is no plan B. You are his plan A for bringing hope to the hopeless in your high school. There is no plan B. You are his plan A for finishing that degree and changing the industry forever that he's called you to. There's no plan B. You're his plan A for ending the cycle of divorce that has plagued your family for generations. There is no plan B. Listen to me. God is looking you in the eyes and he's saying, hey, come here, come here. You're good enough. You're good enough. Now embrace my correction because it's time to get better.
Mm. Strong
touchdown
finish.
Touchdown, Team Mingo! Kyle, you were awarded 6 points for a great message. However, there was the roughing the pastor penalty for 3 points
Whatever.
Taken away. But you did a great job with the random phrase, so there's 3 points back. And you didn't say once. That's worth at least 1 point for Team Mingo.
Okay.
All right.
Would you like to go for the extra Bible trivia point?
Of course.
Super legit official Bible trivia question. Jesus lived his entire life in the Middle East. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, how big is the world's largest serving of hummus within 5,000 pounds?
What? You have any idea? What do you
Five
think?
5 seconds.
Wait, you said to cheat. It's fine.
He did say that.
He did say cheat.
Can someone look it up on your phone real quick for me?
No,
just shout it out.
Good.
Go ahead, look
three,
it up.
15,000. 15,000? You are not even close. 23,042 pounds. So actually,
I was pretty close.
Math is hard. So that means resulting in an end of third quarter score. Team Mingo, 18. Team Tome, 9. That's the end of the third quarter.
Man, Chuck.
Oh, wow.
I thought Kyle packed so much energy in there. The crowd was loving it. What are your observations?
They really were. I tell you what, I think Kyle and Allie have demonstrated that they came to play and they came to win.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we got a fourth quarter, but first, I think you have one more of those sponsorships.
I love these sponsorships. They're so fun for me. Today's final quarter, friends, is brought to you by Apple Nose Pods. Sleep apnea has never looked so good. Sleep differently with Apple Nose Pods.
That's weird, man. That is really
I'm enjoying it, man. It's so good.
Are you serious?
What?
You seriously sold out that you're excited about that.
What do you mean I sold out?
I mean, you're using your voice to do stupid things behind a booth. You've gotten out of the game. You're a sellout.
Well, don't get me wrong. I could preach right now. I could preach
right now. Right now. Like,
you
said, right now you could do that.
You don't think I had it?
I'd like to see it.
You don't think I had it? You don't think I had it? I could preach.
Mingo.
Preach.
Dressed to preach.
Bring it.
Goodness, folks, this is monumental. 18 years, we have never seen Mingo and Toe on the same team. This is a dream team.
Take a seat.
The JV, time for the JV to sit up. Get us some water.
Water boy.
Break it up. That's some high quality H2O.
Break it up. That's good.
Come on. You don't even need this. You don't need this.
I don't even need notes.
No, you don't.
Mingo, preach in quarter four.
Teammate?
No prep, no
Let's
notes.
Let's go, teammates.
Yes. And the crowd goes wild.
I haven't seen people this excited since Cats hit theaters.
Wow.
Please choose your random phrase and keep your clothes on. Your random phrase is, am I the only one who lives their life according to Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer?
Yeah, good tune.
Oh, man. Well, we've been talking about a comeback all day, and I want you to know, I believe you're here because there's a comeback God wants to orchestrate in your life. We talked about it today. You heard Allie say that if you're going to have a comeback, you're going to have to, what did you talk about again? I can't remember what your point was. What was your point?
The low point.
Low
the
point.
Best change
low
point.
Point. I was actually just trying to cause you to experience that low point right now. No, your low point has to be your change point. Powerful. Patrick Mahomes through line all throughout that. Brian said you have to cheat the system. Kyle said you have to embrace correction. And I want to tell you, all of those are true, and it starts with this. If you're going to make a comeback, you got to change your cadence. There is something you have to do different. Yeah?
Now, you can't go throwing around these terms, sports terms, like cadence, because there might be people here who don't know what that means. I know what that means, but...
Well, what does it mean to you?
Cadence?
Yes.
That's the classic old sports term, a classical dance move.
Would you care to show us, Mr. Referee?
This one's for you, West Side. It's a little jazz step. Little one of those.
Yeah.
Disturbing, Kings. To say the least.
We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Oh, man. So in the game, the Super Bowl, you're going to see play after play, the quarterback come up to the front, line up, and they're going to say something like, 42 blue, 42 blue, hut hut. That's actually called the quarterback's cadence. And you know this? Whichever team is playing from behind, or if they want to change in momentum, they're going to change that cadence. Maybe they're going to come out in the second half, and there's going to be a lot more shotgun passes. Maybe they're going to come out in the second half, and they're going to play a no-huddle offense so they can get more plays through. But they're going to change something about their cadence. And the team that's able to change their cadence always has the potential for a comeback. Isn't that true in life? That's true in life. I'm training to run a half marathon as fast as I can. And one of the things I've had to do is change the cadence of my training and go to more track workouts. I know that in relationships, when things are getting stale in a relationship, we all know this, you have to change the cadence. Something has to change. Maybe you can remember a subject in school. For me, it was calculus. That was my struggle subject. And I had to change the cadence of my calculus study, and I had to get a tutor. I mean, am I the only one that was, the theme of my life at that time was Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. When I was taking calculus, it was all about living on a prayer. Take my
he
calculus
uses the
hand,
random phrase
we'll make
flawlessly.
It, I swear. Oh, living on a prayer. That's how I felt in calculus a lot of the time. But I knew that something had to change. Here's what I know. I know that wherever you want to make a comeback in your life, there's going to be a need for you to change your cadence. And Jesus is all about cadence change. He is all about comebacks and cadence change. There's a core message that Jesus taught all throughout the scriptures. It's found in Mark chapter 1. And he says this, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That word repent means to change. Jesus invites you to change. And so no matter where you want to make a comeback in your life, I want you to know Jesus invites you to change. And he loves comeback stories. There's a man named Jesus. and he came back from the dead so that you could come back from the dead. Wherever it is in your life, you need to see something change. And he's inviting you to repent and believe the good news, to change your cadence. I don't know if maybe for you, the change that needs to happen is you've been trusting in yourself to try to fix this. And the invitation of Jesus is to trust in him to fix this with you. Maybe for you, you've been trying to do it all alone. And now the cadence change that you're being called to is to step into community where you can know and be known, where maybe there'll be some correction to embrace, but absolutely people will help you go to a new place. Wherever it is in your life that you want to experience a change, Jesus is up for the comeback. He's always up for the comeback. Who's up for the comeback? Who's up for the comeback? Jesus is up for the comeback in your life if you'll change your cadence. Good news. The kingdom of God comes near. Change your cadence. So here's the thing I want to challenge you with. You heard a lot today, and I want to ask you to apply it in this way. What's one change you can make in an area of your life where you want to make a comeback? One change. I want you to know, I believe that place of change is the place where the kingdom of God just might come near, and 2020 just might be the year your comeback story began. So as I wrap up, in the words of the great Kobe Bryant, Mingo out.
Wow.
Touchdown, Team Cone. Chuck, you're awarded 6 points for a great message, 3 points for an excellent use of the random phrase, resulting in an end-of-game score, 18-18.
Ooh, tie game.
Would you like to go? Yeah, there could be no ties in the sports.
For the win.
For the win, the Bible trivia question.
Yes.
When he doesn't get this right, do we have a chance at it too?
Absolutely.
Oh.
I feel like that rule was just made up.
Okay. According to the book of Jonah, the prophet spent 3 days in the belly of a large fish. Did the fish like it? You have 5 seconds.
Well, the fish vomited him out 3 days later, so I'm going to say no.
Well, he did let him spend the night there 3 nights in a row. But he did spit him out. Team Tome for the win!
Wow. There it is. Team Tome wins with an unexpected MVP of Chuck Mingo. I don't think any of us could have seen this coming. Challenge flags and participation trophies all around. Unbelievable. Hey, let's head back down to the field for some final thoughts from Brian.
Did we have some fun today? Did we? And maybe, just maybe, we all got something that we can apply to our lives tomorrow, a better understanding of God and better understanding of the things we might want to change. So I hope that. That's why we do this. Not just to have fun, but to actually help us all. Help us to all win. Next week, we're going to start a new series I'm pretty excited about. In 23 years, the cross has been around 23 years, or 24, whatever it is, 23 years. We've never talked politics. That changes next week. Some of you are going like, what do you mean? Well, I'm nervous. You're going to have to come and find out. Don't panic. Take heart, 2020. It's the most divisive time ever as an American, the most divisive election we'll ever have. We want to help you. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking to help you. And so we'll see you next week. We'll go back to all of our sites right now as we say, see you next week. All right. Hey, just curious in here before we all take off. How many of us say the 49ers are going to win? Let me see those hands. I'm going to say 49ers. How many of us say the Chiefs are going to win? Yeah. It's a Midwestern crowd. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.